अत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्ड मार्कंडेयस प्रेयर्स टू नर नारायण ऋषि टेक्स्ट नंबर 46। तस्मात्तवेह भगवन्नथ तावकाना शुक्लां तनुं स्वदयितां कुशल भजन्ति यत्सात्वता पुरुषरूपमुशन्ति सत्त्वम् लोको यतो भयमुतात्मसुखं न चान्यत् तस्मात् देफो तव योर इह इन दिस वर्ल्ड भगवान ओ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अथ एंड तावकाना ऑफ योर डिवोटीज शुक्लाम ट्रांसेंडेंटल तनुम द पर्सनल फॉर्म स्वदयिताम मोस्ट डियर टू देम कुशला दोज हु आर एक्सपर्ट इन स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज भजन्ति वर्शिप यत् बिकॉज सात्वता द ग्रेट डिवोटीज पुरुष ऑफ द ओरिजिनल पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड रूपम द फॉर्म उशंति कंसिडर सत्वम द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस लोक द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड यतः फ्रॉम विच अभयम फियरलेसनेस उत एंड आत्मसुखम द हैप्पीनेस ऑफ द सोल न नॉट च एंड अन्यत् एनी अदर ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ लॉर्ड बिकॉज फियरलेसनेस स्पिरिचुअल हैप्पीनेस एंड किंगडम ऑफ गॉड आर ऑल अचीव्ड थ्रू द मोड ऑफ प्योर गुडनेस योर डिवोटीज कंसिडर दिस मोड बट नेवर पैशन एंड इग्नोरेंस to be a direct manifestation of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons thus worship your beloved transcendental form, composed of pure goodness, along with the spiritual forms of your pure devotees. Translation responsively. O Lord, because fearlessness, spiritual happiness and kingdom of God are all achieved through the mode of pure goodness. Your devotees consider this mode, but never passion and ignorance, to be a direct manifestation of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons thus worship your beloved transcendental form, composed of pure goodness, along with the spiritual forms of your pure devotees. Purport. Intelligent persons do not worship the demigods, who represent the modes of passion and ignorance. Lord Brahma represents passion, Lord Shiva represents ignorance, and demigods such as Indra also represent the modes of material nature. But Lord Vishnu or Narayana represents pure spiritual goodness, which brings one realization of the spiritual world, freedom from fear and spiritual bliss. Such benefits can never be derived from impure material goodness, for it is always mixed with the modes of passion and ignorance. As clearly indicated in this verse, the transcendental form of God is fully constituted of eternal spiritual goodness and thus has no tinge of the material modes of goodness, passion or ignorance. Om akyanti mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri gurave nama shri chaitanya manobishtam sapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarinam वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपातिन्दुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. सो हियर we are discussing about Markandeya Rishi, such a pure devotee who was fixed in his devotion, obstacles. So as here in purpose also we see these demigods, they are devotees but they are most are mixed devotees. So like Indra here, we know in this story how he was became afraid by the penance of Markandeya Rishi, so he sent different celestial dancers and greed and intoxication personified, but Markandeya Rishi was unmoved, like he was very steady. So this is a good lesson for us. So we have different obstacles in our day to day devotional life. So by reading this, by hearing about such exemplary devotees, we also get the benefit just by hearing. So these spiritual qualities are like that. If we hear about that, we develop such qualities. So that's why these stories are there. In Bhagavad Gita, these qualities are mentioned, fearlessness, steadiness, like that. But here, by giving these examples, it's very firmly we can see, how Markandeya Rishi did. So we can also try by mercy of Markandeya Rishi and other devotees. So here we see in Markandeya Rishi's case, so whole atmosphere was changed. There was nice breeze, it had scent of sandalwood and springtime came, But he was not concerned about these things. So, generally even if you see these movies and especially Bollywood and other, you see whatever the weather is, but somehow you feel, it's like spring, these temporary emotions when they take over. So here we see from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita that how to be fixed and equipoised, not be moved by these temporary emotions. So we have to be very steady. And there it says in Bhagavad Gita, one who is steady and equipoised in happiness and distress, such a devotee, he is eligible, he is liberated, like that. So we have to develop this equanimity, this quality of equipoisedness, like that. So whatever happens, if it's happiness, distress, whatever, these are material happiness and distress, they are temporary. So we have to let them pass. So we have to be very steady and fixed in devotional service. So these temporary situations are just like a test for us. These are different tests. And as we see in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, it says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukhadukavas. So these are just by sense perception, because we are in bodily concept of life. So that's why this we feel, we are affected by these temporary material situations. If we are fixed in our devotional service, then we won't be affected by any of these temporary situations. So here in this verse that we are reading today, It's stressed about mode of goodness and especially about pure mode of goodness. So here in the material world there are three modes of goodness and everyone is being they act on all of us. So we have seen that picture, how in Bhagavad Gita, we have that picture, three modes, and we are like puppets in the hands of three modes. But there it shows that Krishna is above those three. Those three modes are in form of, you know, red, blue and black, I think, is it? Yeah. So like that. So they are everyone, even the, there's a boss in that picture, and there is a worker. So boss is like kind of ordering him, okay, you do this, and he's doing something. So here in material world we see some people are in the position of control, and everyone has some control, some degree of control, but that we can see something we can see that, oh, boss is giving orders to the employee and he's doing, okay, so he's controlling, he's giving orders. But that, those subtle things we cannot see, and Bhagavad Gita shows us by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can see that how actually even above what's going on here, which we can perceive, even above that, actually the three modes of material nature is controlling everyone, even the boss or the worker, like that. And even above that is Krishna, who is even controlling the three modes. So if we surrender to Krishna, then these three modes stop acting on us. Then whatever happens to us is directly done by Krishna. So all devotees also, seemingly we go through material situations, but actually it's not material, because devotees are fixed on the spiritual platform. So it's Krishna actually who is, through material energy, is acting like that. So here, mode of goodness is stressed, and it says here in translation, your devotees consider this mode, that is mode of goodness, but never passion and ignorance. So passion and ignorance are called the lower modes. So these combination of modes are acting on all of us, but we try to avoid these lower modes and try to act in good mode of goodness, so that ultimately we can reach pure mode of goodness. So goodness, mode of goodness is called sattva, and pure mode of goodness is called shuddha sattva. So in fourth canto this verse is there, sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam. So like that, vasudeva shabditam. So there it says, this shuddha sattva state is also called vasudeva state. So as we know, vasudeva is the father of Krishna, and Krishna is also called Vasudev because he is son of Vasudev. So it's such a nice thing to understand that why is Shuddha Sattva called Vasudev state? Because in that state, Krishna appears like that. So Vasudev and Devaki, of course, they were responsible, they were, through them Krishna came, Krishna appeared. So like that, if we develop this mode of goodness and ultimately reach a mode of pure goodness, then Krishna appears in our consciousness, in our heart, like that. So that's the goal of Krishna consciousness, to invite Krishna or in our life, in our consciousness, so that all the time we are aware of His presence. So actually, if we are sitting in a room and, you know, if whoever enters, it's like you are aware of the presence of the person and your consciousness goes there, like that. So same way, if wherever we are, we can perceive the presence of Krishna. So here we are very limited actually. We can be at one place at one time, but Krishna is unlimited. He can be at all places at all times. So it's very easy in one sense, and it's natural for living entity to perceive Krishna, to interact with Krishna. But in our this unnatural state, we are being affected by these three modes and we cannot perceive Krishna everywhere like that. So now the question is how to reach that state of pure goodness. How to reach? So here in Bhagavad Gita we see Krishna says, Mam cha yogya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samtitetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So how to transcend these three modes, you have to engage in unalloyed service, avyabhicharini bhakti. So unalloyed service. with full devotion like that. So at the moment, in the beginning stages, it may be mixed devotion. We want to serve Krishna, plus we want to serve Maya a little bit. But slowly, slowly, by bashing of Maya, we understand it's actually opposite. You can only go one way actually. So in the beginning we are like this, okay, serving Krishna, serving Maya. It's like badminton. If you are playing badminton, you know, the shuttlecock is going here and there. We have to be steady and fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's by performing this devotional service, we can transcend these three modes. And as we know, in first canto, second chapter, the whole process is given how scientifically it works. So first is you serve pure devotees. And then, by serving pure devotees, you develop the taste for hearing. And by hearing, then, by hearing, the heart is purified. And then, it says that, tada rajas tamo bhava kam lobadayas chaye. So there it says, Rajas and Tamo, these lower modes of passion and ignorance, they go away. So this is the progression. So when we hear very attentively the holy name or glories of Krishna, so then our heart starts changing and transforming. So these lower modes stop acting. And then we are fixed in the mode of goodness, and we transcend even that and reach pure goodness. So here it says, as clearly stated in this verse, the transcendental form of God is fully constituted of eternal spiritual goodness and has no tinge of material mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. So even mode of goodness is just like a stage which helps us to reach the ultimate destination, which is pure mode of goodness, where we can see Krishna face to face, like that. So also here about form of Krishna is also, there is a mention. So Krishna's form is actually totally transcendental. So as we see these deity form, this Archa Vigraha, this is totally transcendental form. So more we associate with transcendental form, name, qualities like that, so these modes stop acting to that degree. To the degree we associate with the transcendental nature, these modes stop acting like that. So when we see the form of Lord in the consciousness that, oh, this is totally spiritual, this is not, there's no tinge of matter. So then, this effect of modes will stop like that. And as in, if we just think, oh, Krishna was just some personality with little more power than me, so then that's a wrong mentality. It's very hard to understand Krishna in that way. And many non-devotees and all, they think like that. Most think that, oh, it's a mythology. And even though Krishna may have been there, but he was just a little more powerful person. So such a mentality is very wrong. And in Bhagavad Gita it says there, avdananti ma muda manushim tanum ashrita, that when Krishna comes in human form, and if people think it's a material form, so such people are muda. So they cannot understand Krishna at all. So we have to understand that this human-like form of Krishna is actually the topmost form. It's transcendental. It's not like our human-like form. So, actually in Bhagavad Gita, what's happening is, in the middle of battlefield, Krishna is present himself and Arjuna is there. So Arjuna, just for our benefit, he's bewildered and he's asking all the questions. He has doubts, can't fight and all that. So then he says, okay, I want to see the universal form of yours. You know, I have this desire to see universal form. So Krishna says, okay, I'll show you the universal form. So he gives him a special vision, and then Arjuna is able to see the whole universal form with thousands of heads and garlands and beautiful garments, and he could see people are being crushed, you know, because universal form means this is a temporary form of this whole universe. So this is temporary. So the bodies, these material bodies come into being and they are annihilated like that. So he could see that. So he became very afraid. He said, oh my God, what did I request? It's not worth it. Then he said, okay, that's enough. And please show me, I think first he said four-handed form, and then Krishna came back to his original two-handed form. Like that. So actually already Krishna was present before him in his two-handed form. So whole pastime happened just to instruct us that we shouldn't invest too much time in seeing the universal forms, trying to see the beauty of the universal form. There is no beauty. The word there is mentioned Gauram. It's very ghastly form. So here we see people in this universe or in whatever, even scientists are trying to see the universal form in their way. So they're trying to go to moon, go to Mars, you know. It's very limited. Arjuna could see the whole universal form at once. But these scientists, by their meager efforts, they can just see little outer space. It's very, to the very less extent. And those who are on this planet of this universe, they're trying to enjoy. So although this is the foolishness. This is the foolishness that you're trying to enjoy in a place where there is no enjoyment, you know. So the hair, everything is ghastly. Your body is going to end and you're trying to enjoy that body. So this is nothing but foolishness like that. So there's different, you know, travel agents, or, you know, they would say, okay, you go there, you know, go to this destination, we'll design your holiday. You have, okay, 2 weeks, okay, we'll set your itinerary, okay, go and enjoy, like that. So they are trying to visit different places in this, at least on this planet, so that you can enjoy and see the variety of this universe or this planet, like that. I think there was one rich person, he even went to moon. So space traveler, you know. So they want to see the beauty of this universe, see the what's there for us. But here, if you just read Bhagavad Gita, there Krishna shows the whole universal form. And then in the end says, there is no use, don't worry about it, you just see my beautiful two-handed form. So we are here, and Krishna's two-handed form, beautiful form is here, so we don't have to go here and there and try to see the beauty. The most beautiful form is here, like that. So here also, this foolishness actually, this is in another place in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned, there are three types of people. Two types of people are very happy, extremely happy. So one of them are the fools, the real fools, who are these people who are trying to enjoy in the material world, materially. And the second type of happy people are the transcendentalists, who are actually beyond the three modes. So they are actually really happy, spiritually happy. So these two are really happy. So foolish, who are thinking they are happy, and the transcendentalists, who are really happy. And the others in between them, they are actually suffering. So these, they are unhappy. So actually devotees, when we start, we come in, across this Bhagavad Gita and this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, we see, oh, this world, you know, dukhalayam ashashvatam, this world is full of misery. And if we are, so all of us here, we actually accept it. Yes, actually, I'm suffering, you know, I'm in this category, I'm suffering. So if one is humble enough, he understands, oh, actually, yes, I am suffering. So then he tries to purify himself, takes up the process, and the goal is to reach that transcendental level where we would be actually happy, like that. But if we have that ego, no, I know, like the Gangeshwar Prabhu was also speaking, no, I know a better way. You know? Krishna is suggesting here in Bhagavad Gita how to be happy, and there is a formula given, but if there is so much ego in atheists, they would say, no, I know better how to be happy. I'll go to Mars and go to Moon and be happy. But no, we have just have to surrender this, as we said, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The formula is given, you just apply that, it works, it has worked, it is working, it will work. So you just follow it, follow the formula of hearing and chanting, like that. So we have to understand that we have got everything in Krishna consciousness, which can purify us fully, like that. And another thing mentioned here is that what happens when you come out of, when these modes stop acting on you, when you're fixed in your devotional service, so then devotees actually become, one quality is given, fearless. Oh Lord, because fearlessness, spiritual happiness and kingdom of God are all achieved through mode of pure goodness. So if we try to follow this devotional process, so we achieve kingdom of God and spiritual happiness as we discussed, we come out of this suffering state and we achieve fearlessness. So devotees are actually fearless. As you see in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna is presenting his doubts that, oh, I don't want to kill these people. Of course, one reason is to instruct us, so that whole Bhagavad Gita is spoken for us. And at the same time, when he is saying, when he says, I don't want to kill all these people. So it's not one reason, as Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, he says, you know, I don't want to kill all these aggressors. So although they, these people have done so many aggressions on, you know, Pandavas went through all the 6 major aggressions. You know, their land was taken away, their wealth was stolen, their wife was insulted, they were poisoned, they were attacked with deadly weapons, like that. So they went through all the 6 aggressions, but still he didn't want to punish them. This one and another reason is because of his saintly. He was a pure, very, very pure devotee, so he was saintly. He still wanted to forgive them. So forgiveness is one of the quality. So he wanted to forgive them. So this is one thing. So devotees, he was not fearful of the war. That's why he wanted to, you know, back off. No, he was saintly. He wanted to forgive them, like that. So this is the thing. This quality of fearlessness comes when one is fixed in devotional service. So artificially we don't have to develop any quality. So if we just perform this process of bhakti, all these qualities come. So these examples are given again and again. And here Markandeya Rishi's example is given. So he was fearless. He even wanted to see the devastation that's the most horrific. And at the time of annihilation, he wanted to see, he was in the ocean of devastation for hundreds and thousands of years. So he was fearless. And then there he saw Krishna in later chapters we would see like that. So in Bhagavad Gita also it says, you know, Veet Rag Bhaya Krodha Man Manama Mupashita Bhavo Gyan Tapsaputa Mad Bhava Magata. So by this devotional service, these fear, attachment, all these things, you know, lust, anger, greed, all these inauspicious things go away. So we are fixed in our devotional service. And at the same time, we don't have to artificially, like, you know, okay, I depend on Krishna, and chanting Hare Krishna, you stand on the tram track, okay, Krishna will protect me. So artificially we don't have to invite troubles. But Krishna, when Krishna tests, when the trouble comes, then it's like a test, how much you surrender to Krishna, how much you are fixed in your devotion and your service. So that's the only test. And we can easily see, as the time goes on, so what's the test of, how do we test that we are advancing spiritually? It's like the scales, the weighing scales. If one is getting heavy, so the other will become light, like that. So the test of spiritual advancement is, if the spiritual side is heavy, so the material side would become light. So we would be less attached, less fearful, you know, less lusty, less greedy, like that. So So that's the test. If we see these things going away, because we don't have time for that. So that example is given of there's a cup, you fill it with milk to the top, and if you pour the ink on top, it will just, you know, flow out outwards like that. So we fill our life so much with Krishna conscious activities that there is no time for Maya, Maya consciousness or Maya activities. So there is no time. So that's another quality a devotee develops. Avyakt kalatvam, that he doesn't waste even 1 second. It's very, because if you just leave the mind, it's very restless. It would just go. It needs some attachment or the other. So if we attach the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna and devote service of devotees, so then there is no problem like that. Yeah, so here we see another example given is although it's like it's up to us actually, this guidance is provided that how to reach, you know, how to get rid of these lower modes and get to the mode of goodness. All these guidance is provided and the whole process is provided, but it's up to us how we take it. So much is dependent on our desire and our effort. In the end, of course, it's mercy of Krishna, as we know that story of how when Mother Yashoda bound Krishna. So she was trying and trying, but always this rope used to remain 2 fingers short. She collected all the rope from her house, and all other cowherd women were standing and they were laughing and enjoying the pastime, and even Mother Yashoda was smiling, but she was trying, and all the time it was just 2 fingers short, not 3 or 4, just 2 fingers short. So there is this big lesson that, okay, of course our endeavor must be there, but ultimately when Krishna bestows his mercy, then we achieve success like that. But endeavor has to be there, that's our part, so we must do the endeavor. And Krishna is so merciful that he would bestow his mercy. If we are persistent, if we just stick to it, it doesn't matter, you know. There we said Shikshashtak last prayer, Ashlishya va padratham pinashtumam adarshanan marmatam karotuva yathatatha va vidadatu lambato mat pran nathastu sahevanapara. So even if Krishna is present there, or if he is not present, if he doesn't give us mercy, doesn't matter. We will just stick to our service. If that's the mood and Krishna sees our sincere effort, then he bestows mercy. Then we can see the miracle happen. It's just, if we see our past life, the things we are so much attached to, now it doesn't matter much. The same way, if we just be patient, utsaha nishchayat dharyat, so by this determination and patience, and with enthusiasm, if we go forward, then we'll get rid of our current attachments. So we have got rid of some of our past attachments. So current attachments are still there. So we can get rid of that, like that. And then we really become fixed. Another example, I was thinking about Amrish Maharaj, how he was so fixed. He was so fixed, he was not at all attached, and he was fearless. So these two qualities were in him as well. So he had all the wealth, he was the king. And although he was so opulent, he engaged all his wealth for service of Krishna. And he was all the time engaged in service of Krishna. So, and then the test came. So on Ekadashi he fasted, and then on Dwadashi he had to break his fast. So on Dwadashi, as we have, the times are given, okay, you know, 6:49 to like that. So time was passing. And Durvasa Muni had come before that. Now he had to serve the guest. And then Durvasa Muni went to take his bath and do some meditation like that. And the time was passing, so he had to break his fast. So it was a test for him. So the test came, even to this pure devotee, this test came. So what he did, he consulted the Brahmanas and other seniors. and he just took little water, which is equal to breaking fast and not breaking fast. So in that way, he acted. And then when Duru Asa Muni, he came to know that, oh, this has happened, and then he created a big demon with, from his hair, and to kill, he did a small, it was not even an offense, but he took it so greatly, and he created a demon to kill him. And when the demon was created, he did not even move 1 inch, it's mentioned. He did not even move. He was fixed in his devotional service. So there we see devotees are fearless. They are not trying to avoid anything, but they are dependent on Krishna totally. And he actually did not even call Krishna for help. He was just meditating on the lotus feet like that. But Sudarshan Chakra came and killed the demon, and then chased Durvasa, and so on the whole story goes. So there we have to learn from these devotees how to develop these qualities. So only trick is just being fixed in the service, and then all the other qualities would come like that. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments.
On the birth of Krishna, I would like to add something that it kind of, the way you said it, looked like Krishna's mercy is sometimes available, sometimes not, but it's actually always it came out in that way. Sometimes when there is actually chastisement or difficult situation, sometimes we may not see that as mercy, but it's also mercy. It's not that the mercy is only when we get some success in our devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So we should learn to see Krishna's mercy even in chastisement,
yeah,
and difficulty, even in so many problems that may appear, also it is Krishna's mercy.
Yeah. Very nice. Anything else?
What did you...
Oh, Prabhu said the mercy of Krishna is actually always present, and it's not just when we are successful in our devotional time. Even if we are facing any troubles or anything in devotional service, that's also actually mercy of Krishna. So we have to see it in that way, so that it's always present. Any other questions or comments?
About the universal form, Srila Prabhupada says that this is also for telling others that Krishna and Arjuna, they are not just friends. It is because other people, after Arjuna has been gone, other people might think that they are just friends, and therefore Arjuna wanted the universal form to be shown so that the whole, everybody knows that Krishna is the
real deal. Yeah. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Okay. In pure goodness, there is no tinge, as it is, says in here in purport. There is no tinge of material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So these are material modes. Goodness, passion, and ignorance, and all of these modes bind us. If you read chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, there it's described how these modes bind us. Even material mode of goodness also binds us. It's very illuminating, but it binds us with happiness, the sense of happiness, and knowledge. You know, one thing, so I'm in knowledge, I'm happy, I'm clean. So he gets attached to that. But pure goodness doesn't have any, it's liberating. Like that. So these modes are binding, but mode of goodness is least binding. Here it says, your devotees consider the mode of goodness, but never passion or ignorance. Passion, ignorance really drag you, really bind you very hard, but mode of goodness binds you the least. So we at least first come there, and then the mode of pure goodness is liberating. Thank Krishna. Yes, yes. No selfishness. any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Gaur Premanand.